When a waitress uses a gun to raise the caliber of her service, David Caruso has the case scattered, smothered, and covered on the next CSI Miami. What do we got?
Well, Horatio, a Waffle House waitress is accused of shooting a customer who was having eggs and toast. She says she won't talk.
I guess we can do this the hard way or the over easy way. David Caruso is egging on his team in a mad scramble for justice. This case is hot, and the plate is too, on CSI Miami.
She confessed, Horatio. The powder burns you found on the breakfast sausage did it.
I'm not surprised. I knew we'd find the link.
When it comes to right and wrong, David Caruso never waffles on the next CSI Miami.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Veggie Burger Griller.
Mr. Veggie Burger Griller.
Summertime is cookout time, and most people throw a big, juicy patty of freshly butchered red meat on the grill. But not you. You prefer to be cruelty-free.
Where's that sizzling sound?
How, Mr. Veggie Burger Griller, do you like your burger? Rare, medium rare, well done, or just slightly sissy in the middle?
It smells like burnt popcorn.
What's next, a tofu wiener for crying out loud?
Organic whole grain bun, yeah.
So at your next backyard barbecue, fire up the Flame Master 4000 and look out for the guy bringing his own food in an environmentally friendly canvas bag. Mr. Veggie Burger Griller, a real American hero.
Mr. Veggie Burger Griller.
Hey, that actually doesn't taste that bad.
And now it's time for the best morning show on radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Sherry in the morning. To join the show, dial 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. And now, here's your morning show hosts, Sam and Sherry.
What a freaking long intro, man. I don't know what he was thinking. Phone numbers, checking account numbers.
Wow, it's going to be a positive day here.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. It's October 8th.
Good morning, Samuel.
Thursday.
Why do I like to call you Samuel?
I don't know.
Is that your whole name, or am I just making that up?
No, not well. Yeah, I guess it is in a way.
In America,
I just never use it.
I always use everybody's like first, middle, and last name, and they hate it because they feel like their mom's talking to them.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Did your mom used to talk like that to you?
Not at all.
Okay, I thought so.
I think she used to call me Pumpkin.
Oh, I see.
And my sister Princess. I wonder why.
I
grew up
that.
With a complex. I had to have a self-fulfilling prophecy. That's why I got fat.
I see. Okay. So it's not the pumpkin.
Maybe. Well, good morning, Sam.
Welcome.
Ewell. I'd say
you
your last name, but
Samuel,
I don't know how to pronounce it correctly.
Hassan.
Oh.
Really? You never asked.
No, I didn't. Cause
I know, a lot of people say Hassan.
That's what I was saying in my head every time I write to you. Or
no,
talk
it's
to you.
Not Hassan. It's Hassan.
Okay, you don't need to get upset about it.
It needs to sound American. Otherwise, people just lose their balance.
Oh, know? Right. I'm all thrown off now. I don't know what to do with myself. Said his name wrong. Shoot me.
So how are you doing this morning?
Well. Except for the fact, well, okay, no, I'm well, but I woke up this morning and I went to go brush my teeth and the water wasn't on in the building.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And so I was like, okay, well, what are we going to do? So at first I was like, okay, I think I have a bottle of water. Mm-hmm. And so I went to get my Aquafina bottle and I like poured it over my toothbrush and I started.
Oh, how terrible is that, huh?
And then I got to brush my teeth with bottled water. I'm becoming more and more of a diva every day.
Yeah, wow.
But then
so
I started.
So what happened with the shower now?
I had to take a sponge bath.
Oh my God, that's
awful.
Terrible.
But I don't look like I'm unshowered.
No, not at all.
Okay,
you just
good.
Smell it.
That's not not true. I put on extra stuff today.
Yeah, so I got to tell you.
French, it smells like a, what do you call it, a French whorehouse French in here. It's because of me.
Oh, okay.
No, but it was like, you have to understand, though, the shower for me is like my morning ritual besides getting clean. But I mean, as far as, you know, meditating and having my whole moment. So I had to find a way around that.
Yeah.
And, but I poured water into like a bowl and then I was like splashing my face. It's very difficult, actually, but
it
I decided
is.
Not to let it get me down because I said it could be worse, Sherry. You could have cold water in the shower and then I would be tempted to take the shower. And I think it's worse to take a cold shower than not one at all.
Well, let me tell you something, okay? You definitely want to have water at home, okay? Even if it's cold. But
I'm not in control of the building.
No, that's true. You're just saying, you know, it's better if it's this way
right.
or that way.
Well, I know.
Way.
Water would be the best option. Get that? But I didn't really have that choice this morning.
Yeah.
But I've taken cold showers before, like when the hot water's been turned off in the building.
Yeah.
You know?
You see, that's what happened to us. Several months ago, the hot water was out, and it lasted for 2 fucking weeks.
Oh.
Before they fixed the damn thing. So you can imagine.
You stunk.
Yeah.
Talk about me stinking.
So we had to go to friends' houses and take showers and stuff. But yeah, I mean, obviously in the morning it's hard, you know.
Yeah.
So I would have to do sort of a sponge bath too, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, or in cold water, you know. And it's like the worst.
Well, luckily, I don't like cold water. So my like bottled water is room temperature.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at least I wasn't like pouring cold water into a bowl. You know what I mean? So
right.
It wasn't like that bad.
Yeah.
But still, I was like lotioning up and perfuming up and everything. I'm like, it better be on by the time I have to go to work later because I'm serving tonight.
Yeah.
People can be like, well, I thought I was hungry.
Yeah. So well, that's good that you're smiling. Because if it happened to me early in the morning,
I thought about
surprisingly,
you.
Like that.
I know it's weird to say I was thinking about you during my sponge bath.
You know, it's like I don't know how to handle frustrating situations.
I know you don't, but I swear I thought of you. I was like, Sam would probably freak out right now.
Yeah, I would.
But no, I got through it, and I was like, okay, well, what's the lesson? I'm like, there's really no lesson, except the things
no
to do
lesson,
worse.
Huh?
There's no lesson in that. The lesson is that the people in my building need to pay bills or something. That's the lesson.
Okay.
I don't really understand, because I live in a good neighborhood, too, and it's not the first time the water's been shut off.
Yeah.
Like, they decide to do like work on the building, but why would you do it at the time that everyone goes to work?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So
well, they do because that's the time they work.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, they need to change that time for me.
I know. Just like all these gardeners in the morning, 7:30 in the morning, you know, with those blowers and the
lawnmower.
Like,
don't you want to sleep in?
Yeah, well, they know.
Hello.
But they obviously don't give a shit how many people they're waking up in the morning.
But do they really have that full of a day that they can't start at noon? I mean, like, do they have, like, 20 people that they have to go mow their lawn?
Well, sure. I don't know, but imagine you wouldn't want to work in the heat, you know?
Well, we're
like,
not
it
talking
gets really
about
hot.
Me here.
Oh, okay.
we're talking about me sleeping in. But I live next to a grocery store, so I always hear those big 18-wheelers, like, boop.
Oh, God.
I'm just like, oh, God, really? Really? Groceries have to be delivered at this time?
They do. They do, I guess. Yeah,
yeah, I guess so.
Garbage trucks, everything.
Yeah, well, I've learned to sleep past that, I guess.
Good
you know?
For you.
Yes, thank you.
You're so fucking positive. Do you want to do your positive corner?
No.
Why?
I mean, later. We don't want to turn off the listeners just yet.
No, I thought it would start the morning off pretty nicely.
Well, you're just going to make fun of it once it starts. You just really want to play that new intro, don't you?
Maybe I do. God damn it, you figured me out.
I do, because you like to make fun of me. And the funny thing is that
I make fun of you? No.
Oh, my God, you totally do. Every Facebook comment back about something that I write is like something like teasing me, which is fine. I like enjoy it.
But you do it all the time with me, too.
Oh,
no,
I know, and I love it. I enjoy it, but you complain about it. I don't. I think it's cute and funny. And
no, I think it's cute and funny, too. I don't complain about it. Yeah, you're the one who said I'm making fun of you. I didn't say you're making fun of me.
I'm only saying it to give you a taste of your own medicine.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
Do you feel better now?
You're
that you
so
got your
generous.
Medicine?
Just like you think on Facebook today. What did you write about?
Oh, boy. Which
about
part?
Giving to other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what was that about?
You're trying to play my song. I know it.
No.
Okay. No, it's about doing for others and giving to others. And everyone's always trying to find their purpose here on earth. You know, people think it's money or it's a job or whatever. And it's really at the end of the day about like serving and helping one another.
I see. And I was going to write bullshit.
I know. Every time I post something.
Then I thought, I better not comment. You know? Let him bask in this.
Yeah. Wow. Basking in. What am I basking in? My glory? I'm freaking making status updates on Facebook. I'm not on national TV like talking. Although, I mean, we can lead into it a little bit. I was thinking this morning, because today is like the day that I actually go back to waiting tables.
Right.
And before, when I was going, it's not like I hated the job, but it's so much easier now because I'm doing this,
right.
Which it just, you know, and it's not like we're pulling in millions here. But but in life, if you're doing something that you love, it makes everything else so much easier.
Absolutely.
You know, and I love doing this, and it's fun, and it's
part.
Well,
that's cool. So
yeah,
it starts off your morning nicely.
Yeah, and so when it's time to go back to like the job that I make money at,
right.
And it's not like so bad. It's just like, okay, I'm going to work, you know, because I know I have something else in my life that I really love to
do, you know,
and I think that everybody should do that, you know.
Yeah.
It's about living consciously, which is today sharing with Sherry.
So. Right. Well, we better get to that.
Better. Go ahead. It's fine.
No, it's okay. We'll
go back to that later. Or on another note, because
yes.
I got lots of notes today. Oh,
good.
This coffee. I have to tell you about this coffee.
Yeah. I noticed you put up a picture of you with a cup of coffee
in
your
hand. No, it's not coffee.
Everybody
thinks it's coffee. It's my cell phone taking a picture.
Oh. What kind of a cell phone is that? It looks
my
like a
iPhone.
Coffee cup.
It's my iPhone. No, you know, you're not the first person. It's because it's taken, like, it's far away, so it looks like it's a cup.
Okay.
You're not the
and
first.
You have the white one, too, yes. the white iPhone.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Well, no, I have the white imitation iPhone.
Oh,
it's just
I see.
The case cover. I would never spend an extra $100 for, like, a white phone.
Yeah, God forbid.
It's just silly.
Give the imitation.
Oh, my friend.
What imitation for an iPhone do you
well,
have?
Well, no, I mean the case cover. Like, they have a
oh,
white
I
case.
Oh, I see. Okay.
At Apple, they do, and so you put it on to protect it. You know, I didn't really need the 16 gigs because I barely have 10 songs on there, you know, so I was just like, but I like the white.
Yeah.
Because white is right. Just that sounded racist.
Okay, so it's not a fake iPhone. It's a
real
iPhone.
Oh, no, it's a real
iPhone.
I just meant I didn't pay the expensive money for the white one.
Oh, I see. The white one is the one that has more memory.
Yes. Yes.
I see.
And
okay.
It's the only, like,
how the fuck am I supposed to know that?
I don't know.
Black,
I thought you
white,
fucking knew everything, but
thing.
Obviously you don't. I bring up stuff and you're like, durr, durr, durr. You have no idea how much pleasure it gives me, people, to watch this man laugh.
Well, sometimes you're just too funny.
And sometimes you're so sarcastic. You sent me an email the other day when I was, like, joking, because we talked on air about how, like, well your grammar is, like, how well you write and everything.
Right.
So I made sure I wrote you perfectly. And then you had to come back with some smart-ass response saying, your grammar is humbling. Your humor gut-wrenching. And honestly, it was one of the funniest things I read. I was like, fuck you.
Well, you wanted to make it a point that I see that you wrote correctly.
Well, it was a point to make fun of you.
I see. Okay.
You just didn't get that part.
No, I did. Okay. I did. I totally got it.
Anyway, so
you're very sarcastic with everybody on Facebook.
I am.
Yeah.
But
it's cool.
Yeah,
it's cool.
It has to be
it's
fun.
Funny.
Yeah, because everyone knows I love them, you know?
Yeah.
And it's mainly because my friends are like that to me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm always getting, like, smart-ass comments, so I just, you know, it's fun to give it back.
Yeah.
And it's all in good fun.
I know, but when I read those, I can totally hear you say these. You know?
Does it make you laugh?
It does. It does.
That's
make
okay.
You
I
laugh.
Saw your little one on my thing this morning where you wrote, "Aw."
Oh, somebody sent you and I love
a heart.
You.
Though. It was not an I love you. It was a heart.
Oh, just a heart.
It was a heart.
Okay, it but had, it said something.
It said it had the XOXO on it, like kiss hug, kiss hug.
Yeah.
And then
no,
wrote,
it had something else on it. Come on.
No, I don't think it did.
Okay.
You just read
well,
it.
Well, okay, but I guess when you read it, it says, you know, such and such sanctuary.
Oh, it's an angel heart.
Okay.
Because he calls me Angel Face.
Oh, yeah.
Shush, it's sweet.
It is sweet.
No, it is sweet because, you know, especially since he knows the other side of me, doesn't, like, know it, but, I mean, hears about it, that he, you know, can still look at me and think I'm an angel.
Yeah.
I'm
an
like,
angel in disguise.
Well, you're misinformed.
Well, he can still have the face of an angel, you know, and just... not be an angel.
Right. But I am.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
Don't you see my wings?
Yeah, you are. You are. You are. You're glowing. I can see the halo.
Thank God. Anyway, so back to the coffee this morning. So yesterday I ran out like halfway through the show. I was like, this caffeine is not working for me at all.
And you had 4 shots in there, right?
I did.
Yes.
But this place, I don't go to Starbucks. It's next to my house, Gelson's.
Mm-hmm.
And they sell, I guess, Pete's coffee there. But whenever I get theirs, their caffeine is so much stronger.
Yeah,
so
Pete's
usually,
is.
Yeah, so I usually get 3 shots and it makes me like, ah. So I was there and the woman was talking to me and then she's like, so the usual? I'm like, yeah. And then I said, you know what? I said, why don't you make that a large and have an extra shot in there? And she was like, long day. And I said, oh, well, I'm co-hosting. Well, and I started talking. And then the guy next to me said, really? What do you co-host? And so I told him. And he was like, oh, we're going to listen in the office. And I was like, what do you do? And, oh, no, I said, well, we're having a sex expert on today, so you might want to turn the volume down.
Yeah, like any other day is a lot safer.
But he hasn't listened before, so I was unsure, you know, what kind of office he was in. And then he told me he was, like, an independent filmmaker, and they make documentaries, like, all this really cool stuff. Right. And I said, oh, so you're independent filmmakers. You can listen to all the smut we're going to talk about. But so we might have a new office listening to us right now.
Oh, cool, yeah. Cool. Well, welcome to but welcome you don't know what smut. The name of it is. Okay.
Well, no. I'm not a reporter. Jeez, just a talker.
Okay, well, thank you to the new listeners that met Sherry at the coffee shop.
My aunt listened. My aunt. I got an email from her last night.
Really?
And she says, so I listened to your October 5th show, she said, with that Niels
Lozauer.
Thank you. Yeah. And she was like, it was very entertaining. He has a very entertaining voice. She was like, I tried listening to two of your other shows. She said, but there was a lot of smut in there, so I had to turn it off. She said, but October 5th was really good. She said, sometimes there's a little too much information about you.
Well, what did you expect her to say?
I know, but it was very sweet because, like, the way she did it, I just like the way she called it smut.
Yeah.
And she didn't put it down at all when I wanted to be like, okay, well, the last two shows are not, you know, very smut-filled.
Yeah. And besides, you got to tell her, look, somebody's got to talk about these things.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, exactly.
So it might as well be Sherry.
Right.
You know?
Well, I always tell her she's the reason why I started making out at 11 years old with boys.
Is that what you
yeah,
told
her? Yeah. Well, no. She told me once, she was like, the first time I kissed a boy was like, I was 11 years old, Sherry. And so I was like, okay, well, I better start then too. I blame everybody else but me.
Yeah. Well, that's good. It goes with the personality.
I don't even know what that means. But I feel like it's an insult.
It is.
Happy day, everybody. When was the first time you had a kiss?
A kiss? I don't know.
You're maybe. So old. It's been many years.
Yeah, it is. Was that an insult?
Yes, an obvious
it sounded
one,
like
too.
One, yeah,
that one wasn't hiding. I didn't beat around the bush on that one.
Yeah. It's funny because I always used to be the youngest one in the room, you know? Suddenly I'm the oldest one in the room.
Who did you have here?
No, not now.
Oh.
I meant back in my life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
20, 30 years ago. Oh, man.
Like when they found like dinosaurs and stuff. I don't know what that means. Yeah. Never mind. So your first kiss?
Wait, when you get till you're 49, I'll give you a hard fucking time.
I'm getting a hard time at 35.
From whom?
People that are 20.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, because I'm considered old now, I guess.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, you don't look in your 30s. I don't
We've
know.
We've already gone over this before. It's
no,
because you have
I know.
Bad eyes.
Well, I do have my glasses on. No,
well,
but really, I mean,
well,
maybe I don't know what a 35-year-old looks like.
I'm thinking not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Gave
I
you
mean,
a compliment and took it right back, didn't I?
Hey, wait, I just did notice that. I was still like, you know, in my little world of, wow, yeah. I don't look that age, but okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So it was an insult.
Yes, it was. Well, I mean, not first.
So what about your mom? When is she going to call
you? I called her yesterday. I'm glad you remembered. And I said, would you rather us call you or do you want to call in? And, oh, I don't know, Sherry. And I was like, well, you got to give me an answer here. She's like the woman that goes out to restaurants and they're like, are you ready to order? And she's like, yes. And then, like... And just looking at the menu, and I'm like, Mom, the server's busy. Come on. You know? And she's like, so anyway, she never really answers. So she said she's going to call in. And I said, okay, well, you have an open invitation. And I told her it has to be between 9:15 and 9:30, which is 12:15, because, you know, sometimes you have a guest, whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know what day she's calling in, but I said when she feels comfortable, I guess.
Yeah,
she's
I not, guess. She'll you know. Surprise us.
I'd love to call her, though. Yeah. She probably won't answer. Well, maybe she won't answer the phone.
Well, you don't want to surprise her and put her on the spot, you know? She might.
Well, I told her. I said, there's nothing to be nervous about. It's just going to be like talking to you. And she was like, I know. I'm not nervous. No. Yeah. So, I don't know. What about...
We'll make her a regular on the show. I'll bet she's cool, huh? I'll bet
my friends love her. I mean, but
really?
You know when it's your own mom?
Yeah,
like,
you don't
just
see
like, mom.
It, huh?
I mean, I think she's cool and everything, but my friends are always like, I love your mom. No, she's, she was the cool like mom in high school. Like, we used to have sleepovers all the time, so we'd have like 15 people at my house every weekend. And she was like the drama because we were all in the drama club.
Yeah.
We were like those annoying geeks that would go around like singing in the hallways. But she was like, you know, the drama club mom and stuff. And so she would let us drink in the house. Not that a lot of parents, you know, approve of that. But she always thought, you know, well, I'd rather you guys be, you know, in the safety of a home. I know you guys are in high school and you're going to do things. I'd rather you be in the house and do it around me than, you know, out on the streets and stuff like that.
I know. I ever wonder if it's not like a big bullshit to say that to your kids, you know?
What do you mean? What do you mean? In what way?
Yeah, because then you have to give it to them, you know? I mean, it's sort of like you're saying, okay, you can do it, you know? Although, you know, they're probably going to do it anyway.
That's what she's saying. Yeah. Like, because, I mean, I would go out and, you know, they'd be like, let's get drinks. And my mom would worry about us, you know, being out drinking. So if we, you know, had like sleepovers and parties, I mean, you're 16, you're 17, like you're going to play drinking games. And yeah, I guess she'd rather be in control of it. You know, no one drove or anything. Everyone spent the night at our house and stuff. And it's not like we were getting like wasted on tequila. We were doing like, you know, peach schnapps or like Mad Dog 2020, like silly stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what I'm thinking is that when you allow your kids to do this, then, I don't know, I mean, today they might call it child abuse,
yeah.
No?
Well, I think right now they call anything child abuse. I mean, even spanking your kids and stuff, or, you know, like kids are all calling, you know, social services and stuff, like, my mom's an abuser.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, what the hell, you know, kids have been empowered so much, you know, and it's not necessarily a good thing.
I don't think it is.
No.
I don't think it is. But you know what? Kids will go anyway. Like, yeah, I drink now, but I don't think that I'm an alcoholic. And then there's plenty of people who didn't drink at all as kids that are like raging alcoholics, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's all, I really do think it's like a parent's, like the way they raise you and stuff. I mean, even though my mom did those things, like she always instilled all these values in us. And I mean, the one thing that I did learn growing up, like more than anything when I think about my childhood was, you know, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And I think, which is where I always learned my respect for other people and, you know.
Yeah.
So she was
a good
mom.
What happened to it? There you go around insulting everyone.
I was respecting that until you. You know what it is, though, is because people think, oh, because I post all these things and I talk about peace and love and everything that it's not true and that I'm this abnormal person. But the thing is that I can be a sarcastic and I can be a smartass.
Yeah,
it doesn't
exactly.
mean that. But it doesn't mean, you know, that behind that there's not, you know, love and all that stuff.
No, I mean, you chose a path, you know. I mean, I admire that, you know. You decided that nothing is going to bring you down.
Yeah. Well, I mean, walk around this world and with a long, sad face and poor me, what is that going to get you?
Yeah, exactly.
Except high blood pressure and
or
stress.
Or being really angry and get pissed at people.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I posted something this morning about, and I actually thought about you and I posted
it. Here
we
go. Here we go.
It's about coping with others, like when you dislike them and stuff, and the things you have to learn from the people that you dislike. Just because you talked about that fight the other day you had, and I don't think you should be fighting with anybody.
That's true.
You know? I mean, and you said you get along with most people, which I'm sure you do.
Yeah, yeah.
But, it should never get to that. Yeah. You know, when someone wrote under there, they're like, do you dislike me? And I'm like, I didn't have to think about whether I dislike you. I just thought about anyone in my life, and I don't think there's anybody in my life that I dislike.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know, I don't have that either. I don't, you know, I mean, if there's someone I don't like, I just cut off with them, you know, and I don't, you know,
well,
and
that's what it was basically about, is that you don't have to, like, be in harmony with the whole entire world and hold hands and sing, you know, Coca-Cola song, whatever that harmony song is, I don't even know. But
I'd like
to give the world a smile and a goat or something.
I'd like to teach the world to sing.
Perfect, I just wanted to do it, but I realized I can't sing. But yeah, so you don't have to be in harmony with the whole entire world, but you do have to respect one another. And, you know, you just choose. But there's so many things. There's reasons why you don't like people normally, and it's usually something about yourself that you see within
That's
them.
That's true. That's what they say, although I never see that. You know?
That's because you're in denial. You think you're perfect.
I do.
I know you do. Because yesterday when I said, yesterday when I said, I mean, I'm not saying I'm this fantastic human being, and you're like, speak for yourself.
I know. When I was listening to it on the replay, I was rolling on the floor.
Never mind, that's gonna be a bad joke. Well, I'm glad you can laugh.
I can laugh.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
Speaking about servers and stuff, did you hear about that actress Jane Addams? Do you know who that is?
No.
Well, I guess some guy just got fired from his job, some waiter, because he tweeted about her not leaving a tip.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he. I guess she went into the restaurant. She's from the HBO series Hung, which I've never seen.
Yeah.
But I guess she went into the restaurant in Beverly Hills and she forgot her wallet and said she was going to go out to her car and get her money, and she never came back. Mm. But she had her people the next day, like, bring the money in for the bill.
Right.
But they didn't leave a tip. Like, she just paid for the bill. And so he tweeted about it.
Uh-huh.
And I guess her people saw it and everybody was up in arms. And so he got fired from his job.
Yeah.
And then she came in right before he was fired and slapped $3 on the table.
Really?
And was like, here you go.
Well, there you go. You know what? I'm glad he's fired.
Really?
Yeah.
They say you shouldn't
I know you don't
people.
See that, because you're on the other side. You're on the server side, right?
Yes, But okay. I think if I would tweet about it, I wouldn't say their name probably.
Yeah, or I mean, I don't think it's your place to tweet about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, this is like, you know, I mean, as with most things, you know, people come to a restaurant, you know, they expect to have a certain kind of, privacy, you know, leave me alone kind of thing.
Right.
Just give me the food, you know. And when you become privy to things they do, you know, I don't think you want to let it go outside the restaurant.
But don't you think when you decide to be in the public eye that things are going to be spoken about you all the time?
Yeah, but you know what? I don't like the attitude that servers have that that you owe them the tip. I don't think so. I think you have to earn the tip. Because, you know, it's not my responsibility to pay your salary when I go to eat. I don't need to think about that.
Well, then you should be going to places like McDonald's where you don't have people serving
you. I do.
No, I know you're like, I don't think that you should automatically get tipped either.
No, but, people get paid to serve me, right? I mean, the restaurant
minimum
pays
wage.
You. Well, it doesn't matter what it is.
But that they work.
It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, you can't depend on the customers to pay your salary. It's not good for you either. You'd be better off if they paid you more. And
but that's a societal thing. That's what you know living in this country. That's why other countries, they already have the VAT or whatever it is. It's already included the service fee.
The VAT is not the tip. No, the VAT is not the tip.
In other countries, they have that, and the servers get it. That's why they don't rely on tips. Like when I live in London.
Yeah, they include it, I think, in the bill or something.
Yeah, it's like it's already included. But you know that going into a country, when you go into a new place in this country, you know that when you go out to a restaurant, like that is how these people are getting paid. I mean, on the East Coast, companies are paying their servers $2.13 an hour.
Right. But when you go to any other business establishment, do you care how the people get paid? You're just going there to buy your stuff and to leave, you know?
So you're saying that you part of your enjoyment of going out to a restaurant, if they just gave you terrible service and everything.
No, like why would they give me terrible service? They're getting paid to give me good service. Now, I want to just make a disclaimer here. I always tip, and I tip at least 20%. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I want you to know.
Okay.
But I just don't like when it's expected or demanded of me as the patron in that restaurant. You know? I mean, I want to... I'm going to eat. Mm-hmm. I'm going on a date, let's say. It's a special occasion, blah, blah, blah. I don't need to worry about what you're getting paid and why you're getting paid that.
Well, you don't have to worry about it. Just know that you do it at the end of the meal. It's like part of like whenever you go anywhere, you know what you're expecting when you go out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that
so why is it a tip? I mean, why don't they just put it as part of the bill?
I mean, honestly, if my boss wanted to, you know, the companies I work for wanted to pay me a lot of money per hour, then by all means, go ahead. But it's an understanding when you go out to a restaurant that it's not that way. So I don't know if it's anything you have to think about. I mean, if you had bad service, like, it would totally ruin your whole entire time. People give, like, service such, like, an underestimation of, like,
No, not
experience.
At all. I mean, service to me is the most important thing. But what I'm saying is why, because you're being paid less than you think you deserve, you would give me bad service. I mean, you should be fired for that anyway.
Well, yeah. I mean, you should always be given good service no matter what. I mean, I agree with that. I mean, that's just like your work ethic, though, in general. You know what I mean? That's someone's work ethic.
Right.
I know people who, we have regulars that come into our restaurant, and if they're bad tippers, like I know servers who will not give them good service because they know that they're going to get a bad tip.
Right.
I, on the other hand, which is why I always get all the bad tippers, is because they always become my regulars because I treat them as well as I treat the people that are leaving me, you know, really big tips.
Right.
Because I just can't do that. So it's good because these people get treated equally, but it's awful for me because I get all the regular cheap tippers asking for sherry. I'm like, yay! And there's always the nicest people, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, always the worst tippers are the nicest. I think they think that if they're nice, they don't really have to tip.
I guess.
Yeah.
They can get away with it, huh?
I don't know. I don't know. I think you should always give good service, but I think just actually going out, you should know. I don't think it's something you have to worry about the whole time, but I don't know. Why don't you start a bill and make
people pay? Because a tip is a token for service, okay? I mean, and also the amount of it as well. I think it should be at your discretion. I mean, you know, again, it's like I'm going out. You're not going to tell me what to do.
Uh-huh.
You know, I just want to pay for my meal and go.
Do you know what tip stands for, where it stemmed from?
But I forgot. Go ahead.
It's to ensure promptness. Now, granted, ensure is with an E, but it's like an English way or whatever. Uh-huh. I guess like many years ago, it started from like to ensure promptness.
Right.
And that's like basically what it is, to make sure that, you know, you get good service, I guess. Well, what do you feel about like hairdressers? And what do you feel about taxi cab drivers? Do you feel like you should tip any of them?
No.
Basically, what you're just saying is you're cheap. Okay, let's
no,
just get
but
this
that's
out
not what
way.
I'm saying. I mean, I'm saying that I do tip because I understand what you're saying.
Right.
But I don't necessarily agree with it.
Okay, well, I don't agree with lots of things.
I mean, yeah.
like your opinion right now.
No, look, we're talking. You know, you don't have to think any less of me.
I don't at all.
Otherwise, no. I'll have to climb my way back up from the hole I dug.
Oh, okay. No, well, kidding. In that case, I'll take some grapes and a fan and a cabana boy.
I see.
If we're making up for things here. I hate you, Sam. You're the worst person I've ever met. Start working on making it
okay.
all better.
I see. Okay. All right. I get my work cut out for me, huh?
Luckily, I'm an easy forgiver.
Yeah. Well, good. So, I've always felt that way. I don't know. I feel that you've got to earn it, you know?
Well, you should come into my restaurant. Well, no, you should. I was going to show you what good service is like, but then I'm going to see what a bad tip is like.
Yeah, well, you know. Yeah, well, you just let go a good 25% tip. So there you go.
Well, you let go of a fantastic time. So
I'm sure.
A really good date with your wife.
Yeah.
And it's a great date restaurant, too.
Is it really?
Yeah, I'm sure I can get you a discount.
I don't need a discount.
Well, I'd want to get you a discount. Well, have you seen the prices? Don't say what you need and
no
need.
But I'm not going to put you in that situation. You
well,
know?
I wouldn't offer.
Oh, okay.
But fine.
It's okay. Give me the regular price and no tip.
You know what? You always like
some. I don't need to tip you because I know you.
That makes it worse. You should be tipping more because you feel bad for me.
No, I mean, friends don't tip each other. They don't give each other money.
Really? I love it. My friends come in. They're huge tippers.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Cool.
But then I always feel bad because, you know, I always know they can wait. Like, if I have other things going on, like, I know they're not going to get mad at me if I don't get back to them right away.
Yeah.
But
now, why does this always happen? Is when you walk into a restaurant, the server is right there on top of you before you even pick up the menu. Would you like to order, please? And then you say, we'll take a couple minutes. And then it takes 20 minutes for the waiter to come back. Why is that? It's like almost in every restaurant.
Because
they're
mad at you.
They are?
Yes. Because we are required in certain restaurants. There are rules.
Ooh, yeah.
Rules. In my restaurant, we have to greet a table within 30 seconds. Because they want to... The first thing that happens when you go into a restaurant is, like, you can't leave a bad impression. Like, the worst thing you could do is leave a guest. We call them guests, not customers, because you're guests in our home.
I see. Okay.
The worst thing you
and
ever...
And you're not waitresses, you're servers.
We're servers, yes. God, I feel like I'm training again the whole staff right now. You don't ever want to leave a guest like feeling like no one has, you know, noticed them. Like
right,
that you're feeling,
right.
You know, because the worst thing you do is if someone's sitting there and they're just like watching everybody walk by. So the first thing you want to do is like go and greet your table and
right.
see that, you know, that they've been noticed. That's one of the reasons why you go there. And then, but then you have rude people who, like, this happens to me plenty of times. You're like, good evening. They're like, we just sat down. We haven't even had a chance to look at the menu. And I'm like, I know. I just wanted to say hi. That's all. Okay. And then you know that they're the people that don't want to be rushed. And
yeah.
so you go and do everything else you have to do. And, you know, if you were nice about it and said, oh, hi, you know, at least say hi and then be like, you know what, we're not ready yet, blah, 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 blah. I mean,
right.
and a lot of jobs, you know.
Yeah,
you have
but then it takes you 20 minutes to come
because
back.
Because you pushed us away.
Well, excuse me, but I can't choose what I want
to
eat if I just sat down.
No, you don't have to, though, but it's all in the way you say. Like, if you'd be like, no, we're just going to need a few minutes if, you know, if you don't mind.
I always say that.
Okay.
Okay,
well,
I'm never confrontational with waiters mm-hmm. or anything like that.
Maybe
okay,
you're
I'm like the ideal customer. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
The one that feels you shouldn't have to tip. Ideal. Please come into my restaurant.
Yeah.
No, maybe it's also the places that you're going to.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, servers shouldn't do that. I would never leave somebody like for 20 minutes ever.
Yeah.
Ever, 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 ever,
yeah.
ever. You're just going to, you know, stop going to Olive Garden and Red Lobster. The chain places of seafood and Italian.
I don't go there.
No, I mean, there's definitely bad servers out there, just like, you know, there's
yeah.
bad everything out there, you
yeah.
know. But haven't you ever gotten service that you were just like blown away by, like that just like, you know?
Oh, yeah, all the time. In fact, even in fast food places, I got to tell you, there's this place called The Habit.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody
hamburger
likes
habit?
Hamburgers. No, it's
oh.
just a habit.
Okay.
But you're thinking Hamburger Hamlet?
Well, no, because there's one that's made that's Hamburger Habit.
Uh-huh.
That's, you know, kind of named after the Hamburger Hamlet.
Oh, okay.
Where's the one you're talking
about? No, this
about?
One's called The Habit. There's a few of them.
Yeah, I think it's the same
okay.
place.
Okay,
anyway.
Fine.
I'm always going to write
it's
Sam.
It's not called The Hamburger Habit.
Okay, fine.
So, but at any rate, my son likes eating there. So there's this one location right down the street from here. If you saw how nice they are to you, I mean, they're like, when you walk in, it's like the best thing that happened to them all day.
Uh-huh. They're appreciative
and,
of you.
Yeah. And then they're like super, super friggin' nice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's like too much sometimes.
I see.
<know? laughs> It's like, okay, all right.
Okay, I just want a hamburger.
Yeah. I don't need you to make, to jump and dance here for me.
Oh, someone's complaining that people are too nice. Of course it was Sam.
I'm not complaining.
No.
It's an observation. Oh, man.
Sorry. I've actually gotten that in my restaurant in Brentwood, which is, a lot of wealthy and just unhappy people, really. Right. In the 10 years that I was working there, I got so many times, what do you have to be so happy about? Why are you smiling all the time? Never in my life have I ever heard that before.
Really?
Ever. And I was just like, and in my head I thought, oh, these people don't understand how somebody that's serving them could possibly be feel happier than them. Like, I knew that's what it was about because they just didn't get it,
Yeah.
And I got that a lot. And because I would go up to the table. I mean, and granted, I know my smiling could be a little overwhelming sometimes. Especially when it's the first thing in the morning. I'm like, hi! Love the world, a tug. So these people would be sitting at the, in the restaurant, and they were just like, rah, just cranking. I'm like, hi. I know it's a bit overwhelming, but I will tell you, though, how many times I've changed somebody's face, though, and their mood, because they're really unhappy, and then they barely even look at you and make eye contact with you, and then when they would finally, look up at me, they would take, a second look, and then they would see a smile come across their face, and they're like, you're really happy.
I know, so. I know. I tend to smile to most people every time if I walk into an elevator, if I see people, mostly, I mean, not on the sidewalk maybe, but in situations where you're like in one place, I always smile, but sometimes I don't understand how someone can see someone smile at them and not smile back.
Right. I agree.
That's like, I don't understand that.
They're just probably having a bad moment. Yeah. I'm not like, it's weird. As much as I'm a smiler, I'll smile on the street. But when I get in an elevator, I don't know if it's because I have dirty thoughts going on in my head when I get in an elevator, but I don't make eye contact with people. I feel like they can read my mind.
Yeah. Well, in an elevator, it's hard to make eye contact, but at least you want to acknowledge them when you walk in.
I'll always be the elevator girl, though.
Yeah.
I'll be like, what floor? I do. And then sometimes they say, have a good day. It's not a sap. What floor? Wow, you're really sappy. It's not like I said, hi, I love you. I just asked him what floor.
Oh,
so you said one time that you don't drink, so you don't drink.
No, I don't drink because I don't want to drink. Mm-hmm. I just don't enjoy that much. I don't enjoy the buzz,
Really? From,
yeah, but I will drink in parties all the time.
Because you seem fun, I like to go out with and have a drink with.
Yeah, no, I mean, I drink, I do.
A beer.
But it's not, I'm not against it.
Yeah.
No, I'll have
No, I don't think you're against it. You just said you weren't a drink, you didn't drink.
I'm not
so.
A drinker, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just not a drinker.
But if you want to
I don't
party,
go out of my
a,
way, yeah.
Right, gotcha. Yeah.
But for other stuff, I don't know. Not so sure.
What does that mean?
It means I do have my vices.
Oh, okay. You mean you're not perfect?
Oh, well, I know. I was trying to come across as that.
So don't worry, you weren't doing a very
figured,
good job.
Yeah. Figured you can't pull the wool over her eyes.
Oh, you could just use a blindfold.
Yeah. All right, should we take a little break?
Sure.
Let's take a short break. We'll be back right after this.
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone, commercial-free original talk, only on LA Talk Radio, your favorite talk station.
Talk Radio proliferates the internet. Two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Sherry in the Morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Save the world, huh?
Yes. Changing the world one listener at a time.
One smile at a time.
Yeah, you're hopeless.
I was going to travel the country in an RV with that on the side of it. I had this whole plan of what I was going to do of documentary.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
that would be awesome, huh?
Oh, I had
to do something like that.
All the things kind of came together for me, and then I was at a point in my life where I didn't follow through with anything. Yeah. So I just let the idea go, but I figured out how to become a millionaire.
Yes.
And I don't know if I want to give my secret away because someone will do it.
Don't.
But it's so fun.
Really? So you are going to become a millionaire.
Oh, well, that's a given.
Okay,
yeah,
then you stick around for a while.
Damn, I'm bringing us up.
Yeah, yeah, I need to get some of that money.
So do I. Do I get a raise? Then I'll give you millions.
You're not going to leave me alone about it, are you?
Oh, it's the second time I've said it. Stop.
Yeah, it's the third time.
You're such a Jew. He's like, got a little drag book. One. Seems like a little sticker next to it.
I'm the Jew. You're the one who's talking about money.
Mister, I don't like the tip. Have you ever watched the show Friends?
Yes.
Or not really. Do you remember in the show where they called each other like their lobster? Do you know what that means?
No.
Okay, well, I don't really know what it means either. Well, no, I guess it means like you're beshert. You know beshert?
Yes.
Did I say that correctly?
I think so, yeah.
God, you're a terrible
I think so.
Israel.
It's a Yiddish word. What do
it
I
is.
Know about
okay.
it?
Okay. Well, I guess it's like your soulmate, you're this, you're that, and they use it. And so my friends, whenever I start dating somebody or whatever, they're like, he's your lobster, he's your lobster. Anyway, I just got a text right now that says, you're my lobster.
Fuck that shit. I'm no lobster.
Wait. That was the biggest insult. I just said you were my soulmate, and you said, fuck that shit.
Oh, soulmate. Okay. I missed that whole thing. I'm sorry.
That's because you pay attention to me like everybody else does.
Yeah.
Tune me out after a while. That's fine.
I just focused on the lobster part and the beshirt. I'm still trying to figure out what the fuck it means. No, I definitely did not mean to insult you at all.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. No, it's okay. No, I'm more insulted that you tuned me out. But then I realized, just join all my other friends. You know that none of my close friends, like my best friends, like really listen to the show.
Really?
Yeah, and I was like, I can't believe you. I was like, did you listen to yesterday? They're like, no. I'm like, why not? They're like, we get enough of you. You think we're going to listen to you on the radio too? And you wonder why I'm a smartass on Facebook. This is how I'm treated.
Well, maybe we'll shorten the show so people don't tune out.
No, the important people are listening.
Yes, exactly. That's all that matters.
Exactly.
Yeah. So our guest is going to be here in a few minutes. Do you want to do your sharing with Sherry today?
Well, I want to do it every day.
Are you ready? I was thinking, actually, we should do three of those. Maybe one will sink in for me.
Well, they would if you weren't tuning me out. You don't pay a lick of attention to anything I say.
That is bullshit. How could
no,
I carry a conversation
with you?
I
know your eyes glaze over. No. It's like you're sleeping with your eyes open.
Shut up.
You're like watching my mouth move and all you hear is wah, 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 wah. I know. It's because I'm used to people like this to me.
You see, you're manifesting it. It's not true at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. Okay. Let's hear this new song.
So we got to hear. No, I'll play your regular one. No?
Oh, you
no?
don't have it. Well,
you like the sweet one or
well,
the?
Well, let's play one in the beginning and then the other one at the end.
I'm gonna whip out my dick and then come on your face.
Oh my God.
Cherry, open wide. I'm gonna come on your face, 'cause you like it. Now it's time for sharing with Sherry.
Okay, there is no way I could talk about what I'm going to talk about right now.
And he wants to do a new one every day. I tell him I don't think so.
Well, for our new listeners, yes, I like coming my face.
In case you didn't know.
But there is no way that I'm going to go into something serious after that. I can't believe that I finally have a song made after me, and that's the song.
Well, those are the people that listen to us.
Oh my God, hopefully my aunt's not listening to that today. Yeah, the smut.
I know, and everybody's waiting for sharing with Sherry.
Yeah, I know. Now it seems like I'm going to talk about sex. And I'm not.
Okay, we'll play the right one. There we go.
Corny one.
Very corny.
Makes you want to dance.
It does. That it does.
Dance out of the room. I sing it in the shower sometimes. I admit it.
Do you know how self-centered this song is?
I know. I know. But the one thing, my one claim is that I didn't write it. I didn't sing it. I didn't even tell the girl to write it for me.
Right.
She just said, you should have your own theme song. She's like, I'm going to make you one because she's a singer-songwriter.
That's awesome, yeah.
And she sent it to me and she said, it's really fun and cheesy. And I was like, okay. And I listened to it and I was dying laughing. Good, yeah. But Oprah is kind of that way too, isn't she? Anyway.
Gotta make sure you're on the right path.
Forging my own. I'm forging my own path.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, I talked a little bit about it before. Today, for me, is about living consciously because I feel like so many of us go through our lives and we just, you know, we wake up in the morning and we get dressed and we go to work and it's just like routine after routine after routine. And we don't really pay attention to all like the good things that are around us. And I said yesterday or the day before that we're all given, you know, certain gifts and unique gifts to share with the world. And once we actually fulfill that purpose and start that, then that's when we start living joyfully. And that's why for me, you know, I wait tables, but it's not really what I want to do with my life, but I make the most of it. And because I know that there's bigger things. And so again, we all have this light to shine. So I'm just going to read one of my favorite poems.
Okay.
It's a poem at Poetry Hour. It's by Marianne Williamson. And you may have heard it, John Leguizamo have done it. It's been in some movies and stuff, but
I probably haven't, but that's okay.
You might have, I'm sure. Well, no, you don't listen to anything positive. It's called Our Deepest Fear.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I love this, love it. Okay, so it's not very long.
Okay, do we need to play music to it?
If you need to.
No, I don't.
It's about. Well, I always wanted to say what things are about instead of just reading them.
Yeah.
It's called Our Deepest Fear. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, handsome, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine, as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God within us. It is not just in some, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we consciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
Very nice.
Love that.
Very good.
Now, I know
they all
the word...
sound the same to me.
That's because all you hear is wah, 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 wah.
Now, no, but I know, it's true. I mean,
when I say God, like I know I turn a lot of people off by God, but whatever you want to call it, some people call it the universe or spirit, or some people don't even believe in it. But
right.
I just believe within all of us, we have everything that we ever need. Like people are always like, well, I pray for strength, or I'm praying for courage, or I'm praying for this. And I really feel that we're already given all these gifts and we just have to like go within inside and find these things within us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's not easy to do these things. I mean, it wasn't I didn't overnight become like, oh, the whole world is fantastic and there's, you know, birds singing and squirrels chirping. Squirrels don't chirp, do they? But you know what I mean. But yeah, so if you just find, just it's about living in the moment. The moment that you start thinking about what I should be doing tomorrow and what I need, the moment that it all starts eluding you, when you feel like you have to have something to be happy, instead of just knowing that living and breathing is enough and surrounding yourself with good people,
right?
You know, and living consciously. And that's why when I drive here and I look over the palm trees, I always try to take in the moment and stuff, because it really is about that, you know?
Yeah. No, so. It's true. You got to live in awe, you know? I mean, everything around you and stuff, you know, but...
It's finding the extraordinary in the ordinary.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So it's not something that happened overnight. It's a transformation. It probably took you a long time.
Well, yeah. And there's times that things happen, like this morning. Like, I immediately, with them in the water, I was just like, oh. That was my first reaction. Wasn't like, oh, well, what could be worse? Like, that wasn't the first thing that came to me. But it was just like, oh, shit. Like, I'm going to stink. But then, like, then I hear that within me. And I you notice your heart going or whatever. And it was like, then I immediately say, Sherry, come on. Really? Mm. Is this really going to ruin your day? Right. You know, so it's not something, but after a while of feeling this way and learning how to deal with situations, it does become automatic.
Right. Then you change your nature, I think, which is hard to do.
Oh, yeah.
But if you really want to, I think you can do it.
When you start putting things out there, like, really, when you start looking at life differently, life starts treating you differently.
Right.
It really does.
Yeah.
It really, really does.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I can see people with bad attitudes, you know, and all they attract is terrible things to them.
And then
you know?
They never wonder, and they're always wondering why things aren't going right or why at work does everybody hate me? Everybody must, you know, and it's always about everybody else and never them.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You've got to start taking responsibility for yourself and for all your actions. Even when it seems that it's somebody else's fault, you have to think, well, what did I do to invite this into my life?
Right.
You know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
Because then you actually have control over those kind of things, you know?
Right.
So.
Yeah. You never know. Except I was asking myself that when I got into the accident. I thought, how did I manifest this? I mean, how did I attract this, you know? I mean, you know, it wasn't my fault time.
But you don't see that, though, because you may be manifesting something in your life, like a lesson that you need to learn. And sometimes things happen to us that would only happen to us because it's a way we learn a lesson. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't mean that you should have been in an accident, but whatever comes out of it is maybe the way you had to learn it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe God, universe, whatever has been trying to teach you something over and over again and you're not getting it. It's finally like slapping you in the face,
right,
you know?
Right.
And you might not see it now, but later on you will.
Yeah.
It'll all come to you.
No, I've learned that life will do that to you. You know, if you think you're bigger than life, life will put you right on the bottom.
It's totally true. The moment I think life is perfect and everything's great and I'm so wonderful is like the moment like I slipped and fell while I was hiking and I was out of work for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Like literally, like right in that, I was, and all I could do was laugh. I was on the ground because I literally was thinking, wow, I'm doing such a good job. This was like a few months ago. Everything is going great. I'm great. I'm doing all these good things. Right then I slipped on a rock, like fell and couldn't walk.
Really?
And it was just like, no. You're always learning. We always have something to learn and we always like have something to share with people. And, you know, yeah, that's really it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. thanks for sharing with Sherry.
Of course. Yeah, let's play the outro then.
You don't have to play the whole song.
I'm not going to.
What? You're not?
Okay, we get it.
My friend said today he wrote me an email and it was pretty funny. He was like, every word had like Sherry in it, but for sharing, you know, like, let me share a story with you. Let me share in cutting some onions with you. Like, it was very funny.
Yeah.
I was like, I love it.
I guess you had to be there. The way you presented it.
It was awful. That's because I couldn't remember what he said. And I just couldn't, I don't give up. I had to keep going with the story. Even when they're bad. See, but that's something I have to learn in improv and stand-up. I used to just stop myself, you know, and be like, okay, not funny. And then I'd make fun of myself, but you just got to go with it and hopefully not have someone across from you that tells you how bad it is.
I know. I don't think I could do stand-up. You know, I mean, I have no problem standing in front of people, performing, you know, singing, talking,
making fun of them.
And all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I don't know if I could really be that funny, you know, like standing
there
alone.
Oh, your wit is funny. That you would make your little shtick would be like you're so serious and you just come out and you just be like this funny, complaining, whining, neurotic Jew.
Sounds like old comics in LA.
True, except you're Israeli, so it's a little different. You're a real Jew.
A real Jew.
I don't know what that means. I want to know more about you, Sam.
You do?
I do, like a lot more.
Like what?
Well,
you'll find out as it happens. I'm
no,
not going to sit here and start laying out my life for you.
We're never going to find out if I'm always talking about me.
That's the point, you see.
No, but you're interesting too. Someone found it. I that press release that you sent out.
Right.
You know, I reposted it on Facebook because I thought it was kind of cool. And someone had commented about how they thought it was incredible how you started, you know, this in 30 days. And I was just curious whether it was like something you always wanted to do since you were little. Like, did you always want to be on air, like on the radio?
You know what? I remember when I was young, I used to play with like my tape recorder and stuff and pretend I'm like a DJ and that.
That's cute.
You know. So that, but. No, I always wanted to be an entertainer. You know, it was like I always had the love for music and stuff. You know, I wanted to be like this rock star and all that. Never materialized.
It's never too late.
Yeah.
Never too
late.
But,
you know, and then I would listen to Howard Stern like for years. I've been listening to him.
Me too.
And I just thought, what a great way to make a living. Even if you don't earn a penny, you know?
You have lots of hot girls around you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? What you manifested. Look across from you.
I know. I never thought I would.
Not only hot, but just sink in what you just said.
Okay. Look in front of you.
Welcome to your life.
No, I like that confidence. It's a little exaggerated.
Asshole. Oh, God.
So, but I mean, so later in my life, yeah, I thought it'd be great to have a radio show. And occasionally I thought about it. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, I met someone and the whole idea of internet radio came up and stuff, you know. And I thought, wow, you know, this is like a chance to really to get my own show, you know. And I was going to do it with someone else. And then I realized if I want to realize my own dream, what I'm envisioning is not to look anywhere else, not to see what anybody else is doing, and just do what I envision.
Yeah.
You know, what I think.
But how did you learn it all? I mean, like, it was just something you, I mean, you just researched it? I mean, how do you go from not doing it to, like,
I don't know. It just came, you know. It's really hard for me to explain because, you know, sometimes you try, like, really hard and take each step the way it's supposed to, and you don't get to where you want to go, you know.
Well, because it's probably not your destiny type thing.
Yeah, maybe not, you know.
Like, it obviously this came easy to you because it's what you're supposed to be doing.
Maybe, you know. And then we got on the air, and the thing is, people still don't believe that I don't do any preparation for the show whatsoever.
He really doesn't.
Yeah. Listen to you.
He walks in the door all whiny, bitch, he turns it on, and here we are.
I know. I walked in at 5 to 9. I'm like, are we supposed to start talking in 5 minutes?
I've got nothing. I'm like any other day.
Yeah. Yeah. So from the beginning, from the first show, I realized that I'm at ease with this, you know, and stuff. So.
Do you know that I had, not that I would ever put Howard Stern down because I love Howard Stern, but I had a friend that said, I watch Howard Stern all the time, and your show is better than Howard Stern because it's so good, but you don't go with the fart jokes. Yeah.
That's funny. A great compliment.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Wonderful.
I said, I guess I'm the Robin sidekick.
Well, hey, your name is in the what's the word I'm looking for?
Title?
No. Well, yeah, but I was trying to be a little more dramatic about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what's that called? The
banner? Marquee.
Marquee, thank you.
I feel like we're in charades. Sounds like.
Your name's on the marquee. So you're more than Robin as far as this show is concerned.
Yeah, just wait till it's the first one on the marquee.
I'm waiting.
I was looking at the time. That was just me being inconspicuous, like Sherry and Sam.
No, I'm looking at it too because I guess. But you know what? I want to wait a few minutes in case they're late and stuff because otherwise they just have to walk in and all that stuff. But, so that's pretty much the story, you know. And then I found some people that wanted to do their own radio shows, had the same idea and stuff. And we launched the station, you know. And it was really, literally 30 days, you know. I just, like, I figured out what we have to do, equipment, this. But
that's what I'm saying. Like, how did you figure out, like, all the equipment stuff? And, like,
yeah, whatever. You see, I mean, that was really not, I don't know where it came from, you know. But, I mean, I've always been technically savvy and stuff, you know. But I don't know,
is it
man.
True that just, most internet stations do it from the phone?
Yeah, they do it by phone. They don't have a studio.
I know. I've never heard that before. Yeah. And I know, like, when I came in here, someone was saying, oh, he has the best equipment. It's the best sound anywhere. And I just thought they were just bragging about you. But then hearing that you really do.
No, really. And, I mean, and we do have remote shows. We have people doing shows from outside of L.A.
Right.
But we don't use the phone. I mean, they sound as good as we do.
And we sound great.
Yes. Absolutely.
No, I think it's very, very cool. Like, yeah, and so did a lot of people that read that.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's
congratulations
cool.
to you.
Thank you.
Do you realize
Thank
that your whole destiny was all for this moment to have me here? See how it all worked out together?
Yeah, so you'll take over. God damn it. And here I thought I was going to make it big.
You're going to come along on my little tail strings. I'll throw some coins your way.
I see. I'll be the Stedman to your Oprah.
You mean never have sex?
Be in the shadows.
Hi.
Okay, so I guess so here. Okay, so we're going to take a short break. Hang on. Hang on just a second. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Sam, I think you'll love it. I've been juggling three balls in one hand while shoving a massive cock in my mouth. It sounds something like this. Oh my. And now let's get back to my favorite morning show on the internet, or radio for that matter. It's Sam and Sherry in the Morning. Only on LA Talk Radio.
We get it.
Usually most people would be offended by that. Like, I'm kind of flattered. Ball juggling.
Yeah. So our guests are in the studio a couple minutes late, so we're going to have them situated right now. And we have Tamara in the studio. Tamara Bowman, good morning.
Good morning,
and
Sam.
You're finally here.
Yes.
Yes, we've known each other for a while online, but that's about it.
That's right.
Yes.
This is our first time in person.
Yes, absolutely. Oh. And you brought a friend with you. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Try to get a little closer to the mic if you can, so we can hear you. and the mask shirt and everything.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. I'm maybe, like, I love them already.
Maybe for once you can explain to me what that means, because I always see it. I don't know what it means.
If you read it.
You know what? It's the divine in me honors the divine in you.
Yeah, in other words, my soul bows to your soul.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. Bowing is good.
Recognizing the godliness in each other.
Yes.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So you came to us from quite far, right?
Yes, from Irvine, Orange County.
Yeah. Ooh. Are you originally from L.A.?
Or LA area? I'm originally from Bakersfield.
Really? Bakersfield?
It's a nice place to be from.
Yeah, obviously.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah. Don't want to live there.
Not a lot going on.
I always heard it's a place you drive through to get to Vegas.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Bakersfield? No, Baker's on the way to Vegas.
Just kidding.
Oh, okay. Shut up.
Not good at geography, okay?
So that's cool. And so you're a sex expert by your own admission.
Well, I am a human sexuality professor, and I'm a sex therapist.
Wow.
Yes.
So you're a doctor.
So she's by degree, too.
Well, that's what Max calls me, the sexpert on the
show. I see. Okay.
So, I field a lot of questions about that. So.
Okay. So it's a professor, but not with a degree from college.
Well, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Wow. Excuse me.
I know.
I'm odd.
I'm no longer the expert in the room.
No, you are.
Yes. She learned sex in school. Don't argue with that.
I learned all mine from porn.
Okay. Well, that's one way.
So you're definitely talking your walk, huh?
Oh, yes. She does. So how did that come about? I mean, so you actually went to school to learn this?
Yes, I did. I got my degree in psychotherapy, in psychology. So
right.
I had several years of that, and then took all the licensure testing to be a psychotherapist, to work with couples, and studied human sexuality for years. In fact, the first time that I took human sexuality in college, I about fell off my chair when I heard them say masturbation.
Yeah.
I said, oh my God, they just said that out loud. And it took me taking it three times to where I could really get used to all the talk. And I thought, my God, to get freed up, you know, about talking about it, about experiencing things like that. So I thought, that's what I want to do, is I want to help free up other people so that they're free to just be able to have conversations about it.
Right.
Awesome.
Yeah.
No, I feel like everyone should talk about it.
Yeah.
Hello.
A lot.
It's so natural.
A lot.
Yeah, and you know what's so cool is now I'm actually, instead of just being all talk,
right,
I've been able to have some experiences too.
Experience always can come in. That's fine.
Well, you have it.
Well, you've come a long way even in your talk, because I was in your class the other day and she started out by saying, how many of you come from a family where God created everything but your genitals?
Right.
And then the next thing she said was, you know, everybody give somebody a high five and say, masturbation is great. Like, for a girl that was that shy, you've come quite a way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you grow up in a conservative family?
Oh, my goodness. Very conservative, very repressed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we didn't talk about sex. You know, anything like that. So
then you turn out like this.
Well, hello, look what happened.
Yeah. But it can go both ways, though.
Yeah, there you go. It didn't with you.
No, I'm saying I grew up in a family where they talked about where my parents were swingers. And
Really?
She wants to know about
that. Wow.
Well, just with another couple while they were married. But they're not married anymore.
Oh, wow.
At the time, they call it wife swapping, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. But it was just with one other couple.
That's why it's wife swapping.
Oh, yeah. And husband swapping, too.
Yeah, I guess in the lifestyle, they call it playing now.
Yeah.
So you're playing with other couples.
Yeah. Fun. Well, it is play. That's what it is. Yeah. That's why I don't understand why people have to mix it up with love all the time, you know? I mean, there's time for love and making love, and there's time for wild sex, you know? I mean, you know, and that's playing, like you said, you know? I mean, adults playing, you know? Let's have a play date.
Well, and I think it's easier for men to say that than it is for women. Right, just in general, not across the board, everybody, but...
Because we need to spread our seed, you see.
Yes.
That's right.
He's always finding reasons why he can sleep around. That's really what he does.
It tends to be. But it's so weird, because like, for a lot of women, it's like your genitals are connected with your heart. Yeah. I know for sure that's true for me.
Mm.
So it's very difficult for it to be just like a sport.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, for guys, it's a 5-minute act, and for women, it's a 9-month commitment, so...
Yeah!
Exactly. That's if you screw up big time.
Yeah. See, that's the deal. Greg, I'm so glad you bring this up, because it's literally, we have the potential of carrying life in our bodies. every time we have that, no matter what kind of contraception we use. Mm. So
I don't know. I make not where I have them put it.
Oh,
there's
oh,
no baby making there.
Oh, okay. Well, good for you.
Yeah. See, too much information.
There's always
sharing.
That. Actually,
you can't
I
make
like
ass
it.
Babies.
I'm just okay. Well, there you go.
I'm just kidding.
But you had to let the world know. You see.
I was just trying to be funny. That
bless
was
your
all.
Heart.
Okay.
Well, you know what? You're gonna probably get
funny.
Some calls.
Really?
She gets more than calls. Yeah.
Yeah. Should say.
Baby calls?
No. Oh, shit.
No, I just actually really think that we should all just put it out there and make jokes, and it just, sex should not be a big deal to talk about.
I know.
Know.
Isn't that awesome?
So I like, you know, I like being able to talk about love and spirituality in the same time talking about, you know,
yeah,
fucking.
Yeah, well, it's all this. You know where fucking comes from? The root word, the meaning of uh-huh. fuck is to fornicate under the consent of a king.
Really? Oh, I've yeah. heard totally different things about it.
I'm
also
sure.
that the origin is from England, but it's like for unlawful carnal knowledge, I think. That's what I heard.
You know, I think people make things up.
Yeah, I think so.
But I think...
I mean,
you can have acronyms for anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Under a king, huh?
Yeah, a fornicating wow. under the consent.
Oh, under the consent.
So is he watching? Is this like exhibitionism?
Like and voyeurism? You know, it's like, it's all good with me. Go right ahead. As long as I can watch.
Right, exactly. What a smart man.
Yeah. That was a good king.
Yeah.
And then no one had any guilt.
There you go.
You had
I wouldn't have lived during that time.
Well, you can't. It sounds like you are.
I do. Well, not in 4 months, I haven't.
Oh. Oh, bless your heart. Okay. Do you want it?
I always want it, but I, you know, I want love now, so I'm not just giving it out.
You know, I love that you say that. What is the difference for you?
That I want to have sex with the same man all the time, and I want it to be dirty.
No, Sam, I want it to be dirty.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, I came up with a word as I was texting a friend yesterday, and then I think I said it yesterday on air, whoremance. Like
oh.
I like a little whoriness with romance mixed together. I want to, you know, have the man. I want to, you know, I want him to take me out, and I want it to be like all courting and loving, and then I want him to bend me over the kitchen counter, you know?
Oh, my goodness.
That's how it should be, you know, and then you should be able to make love, and you should be able to fuck, you know?
Absolutely.
And so I've had a lot of the fucking part. I haven't had a lot of the making love part, and I'm ready for that.
Okay.
So, but I need a man to be able to accept those different sides of me, that just because I like what I like doesn't mean that I'm still not a lady.
Yeah, and you need Tamara to guide you also.
Well, that's why I'm talking to her. I don't have any money to pay, but I will take your free advice.
Well, it's all good here on the show,
yeah.
For sure.
So, yeah. you guys seem to be like very much in love here. How did you guys meet, Kevin?
I know, I just like the way he's looking at her.
I know, I yeah. love this man. Yeah. I love him.
Well, he loves you too, because he doesn't stop staring at you.
Yeah. I love him.
How long have you guys been together?
Okay, honey, go
a few
ahead.
Months. And
actually,
we've known each other for about 6 years.
So oh, really?
I was doing a class on quantum physics about 6 years ago, and mm-hmm. she showed up in the class, and I was married at the time. So I didn't, you know, I mean, I'm really good with boundaries because I was a monk for 8 years and was actually celibate for that entire period.
Really?
Wow.
And there, you know, there's different kinds
so
of celibacy.
So you lasted my 4 months. 4 months, try 40 years.
There you go. And but there's, you know, there's different levels of celibacy. There's celibacy in thought. You know, word, action, you know, so basically I was completely celibate. I wouldn't even entertain thoughts for
right.
years. It's incredible how much prowess you have when you're being that celibate.
Really?
But then we met at a class and, you know, we just kept showing up in each other's worlds because we were both in the speaking circuit.
Mm-hmm.
So she was speaking about human sexuality. I was talking about quantum physics and virtues.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, eventually when my divorce was finalized, we connected.
Wow.
I like how those worlds
so you met yourself
together,
a rocket scientist here, huh?
I know.
Wow, amazing.
So, you know, what's
so you're into quantum physics, huh?
Yes. My background actually is in electrical engineering and field theory. So I studied a lot of how energy works and
mm-hmm.
how human beings put out an enormous amount of energy. When your heart beats, it puts out a field that goes out about 35 feet.
Wow.
Really?
So it's amazing. Right now, we're sitting about 6 feet from each other. So we're actually communicating a whole lot more than just with words and looking at each other. There's an enormous field that we're sitting in with each other.
Mm. Wow, that's amazing.
I think that's what I always feel.
Yeah.
No, when I tell you that I'm in a room and I always like want to just hug everybody and love everybody, I'm always feeling all that.
Yeah.
It's cool to hear that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just that you're lovey-dovey, you know?
Or did you call it sappy?
Because, honey, what's the difference when you're coming from your brain? Like, how far do you extend with that?
Well, the brain puts out an electromagnetic field that goes out about 2 inches. And what's really interesting is, you know, what we're talking about, the heart, which is that love center, as mm-hmm. opposed to the brain, which is that thought center. So for me personally, mm-hmm. growing up, I came from very kind of a New England family where there was a lot of shame and guilt around sex.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then I threw myself into engineering so that I stayed in a very rigid world where there wasn't any of this touchy-feely stuff that would lead to that, because mm-hmm. there was a lot of guilt and shame. Right. And having met Tamara, I mean, she's just amazing with giving people permission to release that guilt and shame.
Right, right.
And just experience what's natural for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she even says, like in her class, she talks about how, you know, it's like there's a lid for every pot. So mm-hmm. if you're the type of person that just wants to, you know, go out and have a one-night stand, find somebody that wants that.
Exactly.
And have an agreement and understand that about each other and go out and do it. But if you want like a long-term committed relationship, then, you know, don't let a lid on your pot until you're actually, you know, going to meet the right person, because you're going to get hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there is definitely, you know, you're talking about, you want to spread your seed, get out there, just go for that. There's a woman waiting for you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, it's his wife
a
at
lot
home.
Of them.
Waiting for him to bring it home.
One wife is not enough to spread the seed. You need an army or a harem or something. But that's cool. So that's how you knew each other from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then what happened? You got divorced and everything. And then you started going to her classes?
No, actually, I set it up first. What happened was, I actually signed my divorce papers at 5 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon, and I had a date with her at 6 o'clock.
Really?
I was on the market
Did
for about 1 hour.
Did you bring the papers? Here's a gift, a set of roses you give her, your divorce papers.
Yeah. But I'm totally transparent. So I told her everything that was going on. I left her, you know, first I left her say, hey, would you like to have dinner? And she must have assumed that I was, you know, still married. And we have really good boundaries around that. She wasn't going to get involved with a married man. Mm-hmm. I definitely wasn't going to cross the boundaries of my marriage. So,
right, right.
You know, so what happened?
Have you guys talked about it at all?
Never.
No.
So there was no, like, I'm attracted to you or anything before that?
Mm-mm. No.
Mm-mm. I just called her and was like, in fact, I just called her up and said, you know, told her on the way, pretty much. I said, you know, I just want you to know that you know, I want to go out to you with dinner, and this isn't strictly professional. Mm-hmm. I'd like to, you know, I'm kind of dating. I'm out of a 10-year relationship, and I want to experience myself in that new world of dating, because when you're married, what I love about marriage is you're not looking around. Mm-hmm. It drives you crazy, like looking for someone, because you know that man is meant to be with woman, right? Mm-hmm. Or you know, if you're the kind of person that just gravitates man to man, that's great. I have a friend that's, you know, that kind of really said, hey, you know, what would it be like if you just woke up one morning and you just attracted to men instead of women?
Right.
Because it was hard for me to, you know, I was homophobic, mm-hmm. grew up with that very conservative attitude. And this was my best friend. I found out after about 10 years that he was gay. And I was like, wow. Wow. You know, like,
but it changed your attitude, though, didn't it?
Oh, completely, because I already loved the guy
right,
to death.
Exactly.
And I was like, and he really got into my heart about how, you know, you think I want to be, you know, all this pressure
lifestyle,
from society
mm-hmm.
and stuff. And he says, it's not something I would have wished on anyone.
Right.
But it's natural for me. And a beautiful story. He actually married someone out in Boston. And the guy ended up had AIDS when he met him. And he contracted the AIDS and died. And I spoke with him throughout that entire process when he was going through that, and how committed he was to his lover, and how he, you know, it was worth it and everything. I was going, God, man, this is like Romeo and Juliet romance.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it really was, you know, multiple layers of removing all my judgments and limitations in that world.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's amazing.
Well, no, but there's no way that couldn't change. Like, it's almost like you had to have that lesson. You know what I mean? Like, in such an extreme way, because you were, you know, so against it. You know?
I really did. And then meeting Tamara, she's, you know, she's just really clear that you can be totally virtuous, totally moral, totally ethical, and let what's natural for you act itself out in a relationship that's in alignment with whatever your values are.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Look at her. She looks like she's in love.
They both do.
She's totally
they both
in love.
Do. I'm all like, I want my soulmate.
No, it is so
your
yummy.
Lobster.
I'm like,
well, you know what's so cool about this too is that both of us have done a lot of work on ourselves. So individually, it was very important for both of us to become the right person rather than find the right person. So Greg was just a direct manifestation of everything that I had been working so hard on myself of becoming.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, when I was finally ready, I was like, okay, God, I think I'm ready for you in physical form.
Mm.
Yeah, like, I said that the other day.
Yeah.
That's weird, sorry.
See?
I did.
Botcha?
I know.
Right,
I already feel it.
So you're ready now.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. And
well, because I'm ready, like, personally, like, I'm not looking for someone to complete me. It's like someone to share your completeness with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And before this, you probably would have just, like, in a kind of a needy way, you're like, you know, I want someone to sort of cling to.
Yes.
But I can tell from just, you know, looking at you, how you're presenting yourself, you're just like, you're ready to actually be in a really
been, I've had many years to be by myself and figure myself out, and, you know, and you still learn all the time. You're never, like, at that place, you know? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I'm absolutely ready to share that.
And wow. Tamara and I were talking about this because people have said to us, like, wow, how do I have a relationship that's kind of like that? And we were talking about it for a long time. Like, what do we tell people when they say they want to meet that person? And I think the thing that we came up with was work on yourself. Mm-hmm. You want to meet the right person. Become the person that's going to attract them.
Right.
And stop looking for someone that's really out of your league. So get in the league by being totally authentically yourself. Mm-hmm. Work on yourself. I don't care. Self-improvement workshops, therapy, whatever it takes to get yourself to a level where you can say with the kind of confidence you have, I'm ready.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I think so many people spend so much time trying to fit into a certain thing. I mean, I did it for years. You know, I was like, I was ashamed of, not ashamed, but I had so much sexuality. And so I would be like, okay, well, I'm not going to act this way because then this guy is going to think, you know, that I get around. Or, and then I would try that. And then I would try the virginal role because, you know, and then I was too shy for him. Instead of just realizing who I was and being okay with it, and then knowing that I will meet someone who will embrace and accept all of me, you know?
Well, and you know what's so cool about that is I think so many people do that in the beginning is you twist yourself up like a pretzel. And it's like, okay, how do you like me now?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're in that relationship, when you guys are finally together, the pretzel comes undone.
Exactly.
So why not start out that way
exactly.
and have someone be attracted to who you are, who you show up as all the time.
Right.
And then you're not having to go, wait a minute, was this a bait and switch? What's
exactly.
going on?
Yeah, you wasted so much time. Well, no time's ever wasted, but I mean, you spend so much time like being somebody else. Eventually, they're going to find out anyway. So why not, you know, save the trouble and, you know, meet the right person.
And
you
just start being honest right from the get-go.
Exactly.
I mean, and it's not a matter of quantity because there's plenty of people. So it's a matter of sorting. So when one isn't, like, working out for you, it's like, okay, next, next. And you don't even have to go in deep enough at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just, you get your toe wet, and it's like, oh, next.
Yeah, totally. Next. But so many people, like myself, would spend so much time, you'd meet someone, and you'd want them to be it so badly that you would keep working it and trying to get them to be somebody, that you'd spend so much time doing that instead of just being like, okay, you're not what I need, so then you just move on, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Because you're so desperate for
and
love.
And that's what we were talking about, is that I think many women try to change the man, you know, to sort of like fit what it is that they want, rather than just go and find someone who's already what you want.
Yeah, it's funny, you know. Barbara Streisand once said, you know, you work 10 years to change a guy and then you complain he's not the guy I married.
That's funny.
And I mean, I think that's the fatal mistake is that, you know, we go into a relationship and say, well, they'll change.
Right.
You know, if you can't love the person, if you can't say today, I can spend the rest of my life with this person exactly the way they are, move on.
Right.
Yeah.
And
absolutely. Absolutely. Because they'll never change. And if they do, they'll resent you for the rest of their lives.
That's right.
Right.
You know? Well, because so many people, like I think women, we were saying yesterday, see people as like almost like a work in progress. Like you want them to be it so badly that you're like, oh, well, the reason why they're acting this way is because this happened to them as a child and that. And it doesn't matter. And it might very well be true. And they might eventually get to that place. But right now, this is what they're offering you. And it's not good enough for you. So which you should move on.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely.
But I was never that way. Now I am.
Yeah.
They just haven't shown up yet, but he's coming.
Yeah, and I think it's a process because it's really with us too that we get ourselves in a position where we're attractive, you know, to someone else.
Yeah.
Like, and then knowing on the other end of the extreme, we have these false beliefs about what is and isn't acceptable to me. You know, like I always dated a particular type of woman that was a particular way, and when I met Tamara, and there were certain things about Tamara that were slightly different than what I would have always dreamed of having in a woman, and yet I was totally good with all of that because I was like, you know, I've got an incredible friend here I'm married to a therapist. I don't have to go seek a therapist.
Yeah. I'm getting and a sex therapist at that.
Lay down on my couch.
Right.
Let me hypnotize you.
Sounds like some role playing in that relationship.
Well, hello.
So how long have you been together now?
A couple of months.
Just a couple months. Wow.
Yeah, but
that's why there's all the love in the air.
Well, this is the best time right now. You know, I mean, you get to know each other and
well, and here's the key point though. We've known each other for 6 years. So if I were going out, you know, I mean, people go to these dating websites or, you know, they're supposed to align you with your match, you know, and you go to those things, you meet someone for the very first time. It takes a long time through different seasons to get to know the person. So it's almost like, you know, I knew this person strictly as a professional friend for years.
Right.
And I've seen her in different environments, and I know a little bit about her reputation because she would show up and people would talk about us and her. And, and you know, not together, but I mean, I could ask people about her and find out, you know, and because I was considering getting into some professional relationships with her. Well, she's given me testimonials. I wrote a testimonial for a book. This is before we ever even considered being in a relationship. So when we did kind of look at it, it was almost like a surprise. Really? Us? And then
That's
it was
cool.
Like there was a foundation there.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, when you start a relationship out on the romantic level, and one of the things I strongly recommend, before you go there too deep, you get that friendship in place. Because, you know, that's a real setup for some pretty devastating experiences.
But was there, I'm curious, because, you know, I think friendship is the basis of everything. Was there the chemistry, though? Did you already feel that from the beginning, or did you not even look at that?
Never even looked at it.
Yeah. No, but
really?
I have to say, honey, that when I did
sit down on the couch.
I have things to tell you.
Yeah.
The microphone is the truth serum.
always. And we're asking the right questions.
Right questions are key. No, it is. It's true. When I did meet him for the first time 6 years ago, and I walked in, and I'm thinking, I'm learning more about quantum physics. I love that topic. I couldn't get enough of it. When I walked in, I said, well, the guy that's teaching that looks like that. And I was like, oh. And then he was married, right? And I said, oh. Okay, so I have to say that I did feel that at first. You know, like when I saw him, I was like, wow. Like, I was very attracted. But then...
Well, let's face it. I mean, Tamara walks into a room and she is
lights
a
it
peacock.
Up.
And I gotta say, I never noticed this until literally the night I saw her. She has the most beautiful golden brown eyes. Her eyes are golden. They're not.
Somebody's
green.
Sleeping on the couch.
I know. No.
He's right, though. They are golden.
Yeah,
they are golden. I can see it.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
There's just like so much love in the room. I'm like, I don't know what to do with
it. Great. Just really take it in. Breathe it in.
Sounds like, what's going on here?
He's touching himself over there.
Oh, God, I'm going to vomit.
So, yeah, the first time you saw him, you already felt a little moisture and everything happening for you.
I did. Okay. I know. He's like, that joke.
Sherry just joked.
Absolutely, I did. But then it immediately went away. Immediately. Yeah. As soon as I knew he was married, I was like, okay, great. And you know what I literally did? I blessed them. I blessed that relationship.
Right.
Because you bless that which you want, because you want people blessing you when you have it.
Right.
So I thought, wow, you know, somebody that would be with Greg and they have like a relationship, I blessed it. So, because I did want that.
And you got
it. Well, hello, literally.
You got it, I know.
Cool.
Talk about manifestation.
Yeah, and even when I would see him at different places, I would like, how is your wife? How are you and your wife? And he's like, good. He was always good. I said, great, and I would bless it.
Well, our relationship was blessed. My ex-wife is my best friend. We talk, you know, on a regular basis. You know, I have a lot of really good friends, and she's one of them. And you know, I told her, I said, I am not going to ruin 10 years of really beautiful love with a pissing fight.
Yeah.
So when we were breaking, I was like, I said, I'm just going to keep helping you with the computer, and I'm going to help, you know, if I got to walk the dogs, if I got to help you with the cell phone, whatever it was. I made it perfectly clear to her I was not going, we weren't going, she's deep pockets, I wasn't coming after for her for any of that. And I made it really clear, this is just going to be a real, real great friendship. And then when I met Tamara, you know, I'm really kind of cognitive, and, you know, and my heart gets hurt pretty easily because my brain's headed in a different direction sometimes. And so I met her, and I said, there's no way you're real. I mean, this woman, you see how happy she is? She was like this all the time.
Yeah.
There was no mood but happy. And I was going, no one is like this. No one. So, and here's what I told her.
Right there.
Well, it's masturbation. Right there.
Yes, it is.
Hello.
It's red tube. Yeah.
Three out of four doctors recommend masturbation.
Absolutely.
So now she's going to get those remote controlled panties, and I get the remote.
That's right. I want that.
She has
so
a great story about that. There was a convention she was at, and they handed those out to a bunch of the executives that were there. What they didn't realize was all the transmitters were on the same frequency.
Really?
Yeah. And so everybody was getting, you know, zapped. Whoa.
That's hilarious.
My husband wants me.
That's great.
So you go to like sex conventions and stuff like that?
Oh, no. No. Well, no. Actually, I think I have been to one, but. Yeah. In the one in L.A.
Yeah. I don't mean the porn ones. I mean, don't they have, like, conventions for sex therapists and things like that, maybe? Like, no?
In his dreams, they do.
You know, I think...
Yeah, if they need someone to practice
it's
on,
called the studio here.
I'm available.
That's right. You know, I think that they do. Uh-huh. I think they do. I really have been immersed with the psychology, so, and mm-hmm. then I transfer everything over to... sex and relationships and stuff.
Right.
Like Sam's really tired of talking about the love. He wants to get straight to the sex. I know him.
No, it's so cool because Greg was just about to say, too, is that one of the things when he was asking if I was real, I had said, well, you know, the person that you can speak with is my ex-husband.
Because I asked her for a reference. I said, I want to talk to somebody that knows you, like, intimately. This can't be. Yeah. And so she did. She said, you know, call this number. And I called her ex-husband and spoke to him for about a half an hour and asked him all kinds of questions.
Really?
He said, this is a little awkward. I said, well, consider this kind of like an employee interview with someone that,
yeah,
you know,
right.
I'm calling you for that kind of reference. And he was very open, wonderful guy. One of the things he said was that Tamara's one of the most high-quality people he's ever met.
Is that precious?
Nice. And I asked him, why did it end? And he said, you know, I was always I was having trouble living, feeling like I could live up to this incredible person I was married to.
Wow.
Yeah. So eventually it kind of got to him from that perspective. So that was a pretty good reference coming from an ex.
Yeah, definitely.
Well,
yeah.
Good. I hope you can handle it, because...
I think they found each other's league. I think they're both in each other's league.
You're a handful, but it's amazing. Mm-hmm. So now, Tamara, you also told me you guys are into something now, a project or something that you wanted to talk about.
You know what? I have just come out. Not just come out.
No, I mean, if there isn't anything, you don't have to say.
No, I do
just
have something.
Because I wanted to give you the opportunity.
Bless your heart. You know what? I have invented the ultimate vibrator.
Wow.
You guys, it's
Sherry's amazing. Already,
I know.
I never use them by myself.
No, you with a partner?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay, because it's great for couples.
Okay.
Now,
I don't have someone, but what I do.
Or great alone, right? So in no way does it ever replace the man.
Right.
Okay, but what is so amazing about my vibrator is it is a healing modality. So if you can imagine at the tip of the shaft, there is a red infrared light that emits this low vibrational frequency that heals the cervix, the cells inside of them, to what they were previous to any sexual abuse or any insensitive lovers.
Wow.
Hello.
Sounds very good.
Okay, so not only does it hit like three orgasmic platforms, which is the clitoris, the G-spot, and the cervix, all three, it also heals the woman from the inside out.
Wow.
And you share this with your partner.
Maybe I should use one too.
Well,
but I don't have a cervix.
Well, but you know, your prostate.
Or a clitoris.
No, prostate. Nobody's going near my prostate.
Well, honey,
I don't
you
care
know,
how good it feels.
Okay, but that is your G-spot.
Yeah.
Right? You know this.
Well, no, I don't.
And you don't want to know.
No. No, but I mean, I appreciate when people are open to that kind of stuff. Yeah, for sure.
Right.
For sure.
Aren't you at the age where you need to go get exams? Just bring it to your doctor.
So let me get this straight. The man's prostate is the equivalent to a woman's G-spot?
G-spot. Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me?
The same fleshy material that makes up the man's prostate is the same fleshy material that makes up our G-spot.
Wow.
That's why it feels so good. Literally, you guys can have orgasms from anal penetration. We cannot.
You don't mean together.
What do you mean together?
You said you guys. Oh, you meant
men.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought you meant Sherry and me. Okay. Says you were in my mind. You said you guys. I'm like, okay. Now?
Bend over. Go ahead, Sherry.
I know. I was just going bye-bye. I don't think I ever tried that before.
You can't knock it if you haven't tried it.
Right. No, I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying I'm not tried.
Exit only, right? Yeah.
You know, you'd be shocked and surprised. Because I know men who are never, ever, ever into it, and then they allowed it, and they were just like, oh, my God, that was the best feeling.
No, look, I mean, I'm sure. It's just it's a kind of pleasure I don't want to experience. It's very simple.
Did you say sinful?
Simple.
Oh, they said sinful.
Oh, no. It's very simple. No.
Not going there.
I was like, when do you talk about sin?
I know. Yeah, really.
It's like, who are you?
It's a subconscious coming conversation.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm shocked. The prostate, I mean, I got to tell you, you know, as my age, you have your prostate checked every year, and I've never experienced anything like fun, pleasure, anything about
well,
that.
Well, you're the doctor. It's an exam.
Well, here's the deal. Many men will. They'll get an erection.
Really?
And without any dinner, nothing. Okay? No, honey, you know why I believe you don't is because you have amazing ability to control your mind. And because you have been a monk for 8 years and you have this incredible ability to literally shut everything else off and from your neck down.
Well, I'm definitely sure. not Denial. Open to a sexual experience when I go get my prostate.
I know. Well, I know, and most men aren't, yet they'll experience the erection. And that's one of the things I tell my kids, my students, is it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, when you go get your prostate exam, many of them will get an erection and be so embarrassed by it. And I said, it's all right.
Yeah,
it's
when I go to the gynecologist, I have to talk myself into not getting wet.
Oh, see? There you go.
No, you thought you were wild.
I know it's been a while, Sherry.
Okay, here comes
the doctor. But that just goes back to fantasies.
Well, and it's a physical thing. Your physiology will respond. Mm. You know, even if you're being abused, your physiology will respond. Yeah. And, you know, it's just a natural phenomenon.
Yeah.
And it's nothing to be
embarrassed. So this is a vibrator with like a laser beam?
Yes.
Really?
Now get this. Okay.
Yeah. Sounds like a sniper rifle or something.
Well, no, get this. Okay. When the infrared light, it shoots out the light, it's in a mandala. And it's a mandala of the seed of life. Okay. So if it's not in use, you can put it on your nightstand and project it on your ceiling. How cool is that?
How cool is that?
Wow. Oh. First date, he comes over and sees a vibrator. And I'm like, it's a peaceful thing. Don't worry.
Yeah. Just look into the light. Go into the light.
Yeah. Come into the light.
Come into the light. Embrace your inner being.
So, I mean, so you're serious about this, right? You're actually going to come out with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Well, I've talked openly about my sexual abuse as a young girl, so I'd be very curious about this.
Yeah. Oh, honey, about the vibrator being a healing modality for that.
Well, I'm just
honey,
really into vibrator. Exactly. I'd probably be interested in it anyway.
And you know that most of us women have come from that? Mm-hmm. You know, seriously. I mean, I can include myself in that as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I really, literally, before I even met Greg, I thought the only way, because I knew the modalities of being able to cure that, and I thought the only way I'd be able to do it is if I created the device to do it for myself.
Right.
And really, you can experience this with a partner. Mm-hmm. It doesn't require the healing modality, but how amazing to have both available to you. Because, I mean, I did it for me personally as well as to be able to affect women out there globally. Because what happens when they get healed up, they are so multi-orgasmic with their man that nothing holds them back from being intimate with them and being present and enjoying the pleasure to its maximum. Mm-hmm.
Well,
right.
You
mentioned, could you let go of all that?
Yeah, and letting go of it is a huge cultural thing. You know, 80% of women will be raped or beaten in their lifetime.
That's
and
a huge
if you
number.
And if you don't believe that, I mean, I do a lot of professional speaking in large audiences, and you can just say, you know, if you really are working with an audience for you know 3 days or so, around the second or third day, you can get you establish that trust, and you can say, okay, can we just have a moment of confidentiality here with all the women in this room that have been sexually beaten or abused or raped, please raise your hand. And 80% of the women will raise their hand.
I
it's crazy.
It.
Yeah.
And you know, here's one of the scary questions, and this is a different radio show. If 80% of the women are going through that kind of abuse, then what if I were to ask the question, okay, now will all the men who are the abusers raise your hand? I mean, what does that mean? 80% of the room will raise their hand? We're not even dealing with that issue.
Yeah, wow.
But Tamara, you know, what is it you hold your pain in your cervix?
Yes, that's where women carry their sexual pain, is in their cervix. And it's very difficult to have deep penetration when you've held pain in there for a long time. One of the things that your man can do, and even my vibrator, is to go inside and do a circular motion of massaging the cervix. Mm-hmm. What will come out is your pain. And so you prepare your partner for this, because you just may just start crying, you know, cathartic.
Don't do that around the same. You can't handle women crying.
Yeah? Oh, it's no, beautiful.
Yeah, I've had this several times in my life. They start crying. I'm like, out the door, man.
Oh, that's because they're
expecting
more.
I don't know how
more.
To deal with it. Shut up.
Well,
so listen, something that vibrator can double as a flashlight as well, right? If you need to look for things in there.
Yes, things are. You get ET phone home.
Where did I leave my condom?
Yeah, oh, there it is. Yeah, but you guys, it is a very healing experience. If you could allow yourself the capacity to contain your woman's pain, mm-hmm. she will be healed in your presence, mm. and she will never forget you.
Right.
Never.
Yeah, and I got to say, you know, for mm. guys, if you really want to start opening up your woman, the thing to do is to, after mm. she's had an orgasm, hold her
mm-hmm.
and tell her you're going to take care of her mm-hmm. and tell her she can trust you and tell her that, you know, she's just like, I'm right here. Mm-hmm. Because what a woman experiences after that is just so incredible incredible level of vulnerability. And most guys, you know, some guys are just like, you know, the average act for a man of sex is like 3 minutes mm-hmm. to get to orgasm, and for a woman it's like 20 is a pretty normal period. So for him, it's just like, okay, I'm done. And a lot of times, guys just roll over and go to sleep.
Right.
Or walk out the door.
Yeah.
So I've heard.
Or run out the door. But obviously not with your partner and stuff.
Right,
so
of course
yeah,
not.
We understand what you're saying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool. So when's the wedding?
Put him on the spot.
But this is cool. I mean, mm-hmm. like later in life to really find someone that you connect with and everything, you know, it's like, it doesn't have to happen at 35, Sherry. I mean, sometimes it can, you know, can happen. Have you been, were you married before?
Yes, I was married for 10 years in a sexless marriage.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So definitely. I mean, I had to, how about for my birthday?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But you see how how things happen. Like we were talking earlier when I talked about your accent, and I say certain things have to happen to specific people so then they can find their, you know, their life's purpose and stuff. You know,
right.
Like she went from that to like now, like doing exactly what she's doing. You mm-hmm. know, and it took maybe that for her to come to this place.
It's so true right. because you know? What Greg talks about is that your pain is your credential.
Mm-hmm.
So what you've been hurt by, you want to say more about that?
Well, it's just, you know, if you were told that you had cancer and you had an opportunity to speak to one of two people, you could talk to a woman that's had the same cancer you had, worse than you have it, and there's no trace of it in her body. She's healed herself of that cancer. Or you could talk to an oncologist that's going to tell you what caused the cancer, what are your chances of survival, and what the treatments are. Who would you rather talk to?
Right, I hear you.
The woman who survived.
Almost everybody right. says the woman. Well, yeah. it's not just that she survived. She's been through the experience. Mm-hmm. The doctors only studied the experience.
Right.
So there's a huge difference between, you know, I mean, and this is what Tamara talks about. I mean, she's, as a sex therapist, she can study it from the book perspective all night and all day. But ultimately, her clients are going to want to know, have you actually experienced the right. level of what you're telling me I can experience?
Right.
And come from abuse.
Right, exactly.
You know, and come from repression, come from a sexless marriage. Mm-hmm. And it's now happening for you?
Yeah.
Totally. Get it.
Yeah. Happiness.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, being with a woman that hasn't had sex in 10 years, man, you must be having a blast.
I know. I would have to say
it's
that.
It's overwhelming.
Well, there at least once a year.
Yeah.
On my birthday, right? Okay,
I gotta remember. She's like, don't be crazy.
And I know. I mean, and you come across as highly sexual as well, so I'm sure it was like a lot of repression as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I definitely had my, yeah.
But look at how he was a monk as well. So she's having no sex. He's having a monk. It is like fireworks in that bedroom.
Well, we have a couple minutes. Do you want to talk about that real quick? I mean,
I'm so interested in
that. What made you become a monk? I mean, do you get up one day or is this like a process?
Well, what happened for me was I kind of was heading down the road that I was led down, which was, you know, I'm going to go, you know, to get a degree in engineering because I tested high in math, and then I'll go out and get a job working 9 to 5, which just drove me insane. I'm an entrepreneur. I don't know. Mm. I don't know how people tolerate that kind of lifestyle. And then I went and started my own business. So I had my own, you know, company, and it was running artificial intelligence software. It was very successful. I had a lot of toys, and I couldn't understand, when this is what everybody told me would make me happy, why I was so empty and lonely and miserable.
Right.
And I realized there's no way I could live my life from the outside in. There's no way I could get the outside world arranged to make me happy on the inside. So that's when I said, well, I got to start living life from the inside out. Well, where do you go to, you know, what school do you go to do that? And I realized I've just got to spend a lot of time in meditation, getting to know myself, contemplating. And so the organization where I was a monk was just had an amazing reputation for being very open, helping people have a direct personal experience of God. And it's Self-Realization Fellowship. And I was, you know, spent 5 to 6 hours a day in meditation, and I was there for about 8 years.
That's amazing.
And so, yeah, and what's interesting is, you know, these are really closely tied together. There are two huge issues with people that are monastics or take vows of renunciation. And, you know, you take a vow of chastity,
mm-hmm.
and you take a vow of poverty. And what's really fascinating is that in those environments, and you see it in the news all the time, there's a huge charge on sex and money. you know, where priests are acting out, and you know, and the church is scandalous because it's collecting all this money and doing this. And so there's this really weird shadow area of sex and money there. And for me, that was pretty much the story of my life. You know, I grew up in an environment where my mother was pretty open, almost a little bit too inappropriately with sex, and I was meditating at a relatively early age, around 18 or so, and started noticing that I was hitting this wall. It was an either or. Either I'm going to be a spiritual being or I'm going to be a sexual being. And it was like I just turned my back on sex completely. In fact, I was in a relationship shortly before I was in the monastery with a girl, and I refused to have sexual relations with her. Now, I should mention, Tamara and I are going slow here. So you may think we're going completely hot and heavy all the way down the road. The fact is, we're really taking it pretty slow.
Nice.
And we're definitely, you know, fulfilling each other's needs in the sexual world. But, you know, I believe that when you have sexual intercourse with someone, there's something that happens, especially for a woman. It's like your soul basically says, you're mine. And that's a lot of responsibility. So until we're really clear, and I'm looking for a lifetime partner in friendship, and I think I've found one. And if that's true,
there's no rush.
Well, yeah, if that's true, if I'm going to spend the next 90 years with this person, what's the rush? Why not really savor these beginning levels of just bonding and getting to know each other and you know, exploring each other's worlds?
I think it's beautiful because so many people miss that. Like when you're in a long-term relationship, you miss the beginning. You know, you always think back of how it was and that whole build-up and everything. And it's true. Like if you know you're going to have something forever, like most people rush through things because you don't know how long you're going to have. You know, but when you kind of just know inside. Like, I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I love what you said, just because I really believe it. And I talk to Sam about it all the time, about how people are always looking at the external, you know. I want the money. I want the job. I want all these things. And then you finally get it. So many people get it and realize that's still not enough. You know, it's not about that. That's not what's fulfilling you, you know.
Exactly.
It does come from the inside, and I love that.
So he was able to get a chance to know his soul, really get in touch that way. And then he started bucking the system. There, and then they asked him to leave.
Like you asked how I got in there. A lot of people are like, so why aren't you still there? Or how'd you end up leaving? And for me personally, I just was really challenging. One of my projects was to study the lives of people that were heroes. I was like, all right, if it's true that I can live my life from the inside out, who are the people throughout history that have really done that and done it well? And the answer was, it's the people that we admire that inspire us the most, the people we make statues about.
Right.
And those are people, for lack of a better word, as heroes. You know, the Mother Teresa's and the Gandhi's and the Martin Luther King's of the world. And so I studied the lives of those people from a very mechanical and scientific perspective. Like, what did they do? And I just created a formula for that. But I started, like, really, it really started working. I was working with some of the monks sort of under the radar, and they were getting some value and benefit of it. And then so I started really being more open. Right. And it's, you know, there's a very closed political system in a monastery. So when I started saying, hey, you know, we're on to something here. We could make people really, you know, more powerful and really authentic and taking a stand for what means the most to them.
Starting upheaval in the monastery.
So eventually they were, you know, they said, you know, it's really time for you to leave. And go out and do this thing in the world.
Yeah. There you go.
They knew your time was done.
And I was resisting it, but it was very wise. I mean, the person that eventually asked me to leave, I put up huge resistance because like I came here to give my life to God, damn it, you know. This guy said, well, you know, it's time for you to leave. And I said, well, I'm not leaving. And he said, you took a vow of obedience, didn't you? So I was out the door.
Folks, we're out of time. Tamara, do you have anything you want to plug? Like maybe your practice or
Well, you know, one of the... actually, Greg's plugging
you can't respect our guests here.
She's a sex therapist. She's not offended.
No.
Even though she has a sweet face.
She's not offended by anything.
Right? It's true. Well, if people want to get a hold of me, they can always go to www.tamarabowman.com.
Okay. TamaraBowman.com, and you also do Max and Friends on Sunday nights
Max
at 8
and
right here on LA Talk Radio. A great show. And
Max Tucci. Is he single?
He's a maniac.
He is.
He's a nut. That guy's got more energy than any
he really does.
He does. He's
and he's
amazing.
Got the money to live it out too.
Yeah.
Anyway. And what about you, Greg? Anything you want to plug? People need to find you. I mean, quantum physics, we could have a couple shows just on that alone.
Sure. Well, if people want to know more, you can go to bridgetobliss.com. It's number2bliss.com. And you know, we do workshops on how to be authentic. And so what I love about Tamara, she's one of the more authentic people because she's, you know, part of us is a sexual person. And she's really dealing with that. It's the part of us that we hide our authenticity the most with. So Check her out, man. She is incredible.
If you do say so yourself.
First-hand promise.
Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. It's amazing. I know you had a long drive and everything, but yeah, make the best out of it, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Make a little day trip.
Thanks for having us, Sam.
Of course, thank you so much. And Sherry, thank you again.
Thank you.
As always, don't work too hard tonight.
Don't come into my restaurant tonight.
I won't.
Non-tipper.
Shut up. You know I have a tipper.
Have a good day. I'm so mad.
You have been listening to the Sam and Sherry in the Morning Show, which airs every weekday from 10 a.m. until noon Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question about the show or you would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please email us at info@latalkradio.com. The Sam and Sherry in the Morning Show is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.